Blog Talk Radio.
I know you've been waiting, anticipating, waiting for Christian Talk, and here we are. Christian Talk. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition
Hello.
Of Christian Talk. How are you today, Pastor Cecilia?
I'm very good. I want to say hi to all our friends and family from all over the world. God bless you, and wherever you are. Welcome to Christian Talk.
Amen. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And also, you know what I would like for all of you to do? Just take a little time out right now. Pick up your phones or grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just tell them to click on the picture or the link wherever you see our posts for this particular show if you choose to listen from your computer. So you can just sit back, listen to the entire show from your computer. And on Facebook, you can hear the program tonight and all this week. You can just click wherever you see the post of this particular show, okay? And, of course, you can go to Solar Records Radio and put in and look for Christian Talk and go ahead and click and listen to the entire program. Now, you might see our post on Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. So just go ahead and dial in the number, click on the picture, whatever, okay, and just come on in. Also, we are on HSBN.TV, and our show is called The Message of Life. You can catch us on HSBN.TV, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live, so tune in, okay? You can also find us, you can find The Message of Life on other social media TV apps and platforms all throughout the week, like, to name a few, On Demand, Roku, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. So just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tosila McCain, okay? All right, one more thing. We are inviting you to come and worship with us. We are located, first of all, we're called Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, in Upland, California, 91786. Once again, that's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. That's right, in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. We're easy to find. We're in an upper room. So just go to an upper room, and when you get there, just go to the upper room, and you'll see us, okay? So listen, we're going to have a really good program today, right, Pastor Tasila?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I'm very excited because we have a good guest.
Yes, indeed. but in the meantime, I'm just going to ask you guys to stay right there. Don't go away. Here's Searchlight.
In my eyes, never did I come to realize, no matter what you strive for in your present or your past, only what you do for Christ will last.
Christian Talk, with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Look out, we're dynamite. And well, hold on. Wait a minute. What is this? Do you hear me? Hold on. Yeah, I know you're familiar with that. Yes, indeed. But you know what? Instead of having a TNT moment, we're going to introduce our special guest for tonight. Our special guest tonight is Pastor Joe Henry Monroy. Pastor Joe Henry Monroy. And before I introduce him, actually, I want to tell you a little bit about Joe Henry Monroy. Okay, so Joe Henry Monroy is an ordained pastor with Kingdom Family Network under the leadership of Apostle Eddie Maestas. Now, you remember Pastor Eddie. He was on our show a few weeks ago.
I love Pastor Eddie. God bless
yeah, and
Pastor
he was,
Eddie.
Oh, yes. God bless him, real man of God. Pastor Joe Henry Monroy, he serves faithfully in the local church in Pomona, California, as well as a production producer with HSBN. By the way, he also produces our show, The Message of Life, on HSBN.tv. And he's a producer for Love and Unity TV Network. This is a busy man here. He has served 10 years. Yes, he has served 10 years in multiple ministry capacities and now helps co-lead Kingdom Family Church Pomona. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in welcoming Pastor Joe Henry Monroy.
Yay!
Amen. Yay. Amen.
How you doing? How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you all.
Yeah, you too.
It's good to have you here. You know, I'm surprised. I know that
different platforms, I guess. I'm used to seeing you in my studio, and I guess now I'm with you in your studio.
Right. That's something,
man. Interesting.
You know, I'm so grateful to the Lord that you could squeeze out the time to be on the program, because I know that you had something happening tonight. I don't know if it was at your church or at your home, but a Bible study or something going on tonight. And praise the Lord, you have multiple speakers, so you were able to slip away and bless our audience here. So we appreciate that, and we just want to say thank you for that. Okay.
Amen.
Pastor,
it's a privilege.
Praise the Lord. It's a privilege for us, you know. Just continuing with Pastor Joe Henry, his heart is and probably always have been used by God wherever he sees fit. He submitted himself to the Lord to use him wherever the Lord sees fit, and he does so with the spirit of humility and honor, and that's one of the things that gives him strength. That's one of the things that is very strong about him, his humility and how he serves the Lord with honor. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us a little bit. Tell the people a little bit about yourself. And, well, I guess I told them a lot already. carry us back, you know. How did you first come to the Lord, or were you raised in a Christian family?
Amen. Well, yeah. You know, one of the things I've always struggled with is telling my story. And I guess maybe it's gotten better. I've gotten better at it. You know, more recently I was talking to somebody because, yes, I was raised in the church, which is funny because mom and dad never stepped a foot in church, at least to, you know, besides your normal weddings, funerals, and, you know, certain events for holidays. But mom and dad weren't regular attenders. But, you know, I grew up because of my great grandma. We lived with her when I was born. I was born in 1993, so I'm 29 years old now. But when I was born, mom and dad made a decision to live at great grandma's house. And great grandma was a prayer warrior. She was an intercessor for her church. And, you know, growing up, I didn't really understand everything on all that, what that meant. I just knew that because I lived and I was young, I was the youngest one, I had to go to church with grandma. That was part of an agreement I had to go to church with grandma. So I grew up in the church.
You might want to get closer in the phone, Joe Henry. Yeah, we were losing some of your words.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
A little clearer, yeah.
That's better.
Okay, so I was saying I grew up in the church, but I struggled with the testimony because growing up in the church, you hear testimonies of how God plucked people out of certain situations, whether it was alcohol and, you know, drugs or gang violence. And I always thought to myself, well, that's not me. So I don't have a testimony. And I was remembering. I was reminded of that once, and then I was having a conversation with one of our own intercessors, and she reminded me, and now I use this when I speak my testimony. She told me, you're a product of prayer. You're a product of prayer. Mm. When you give your story, you're an answer to some of those moms. You can give them hope, or some of those praying parents or grandparents out there, because what happened to you in your life, you're a product of the prayers of your great grandmother. And so,
that's,
you know,
true.
Growing up, I lived in that environment. Great grandma, she was old school. She was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, waking up, you know, lights on. And, you know, I didn't know exactly what she was doing because I was young at that time, growing up small. But I knew that at 4 or 5 o'clock, whenever she woke up, lights were on in that kitchen, mm. and she was praying. And she wasn't just, you know, little prayers. She had, I remember she had this notebook and list. I mean, from number one, her husband, number two, going down to all the kids. She had 8 kids. And then right after that, boom, she would go into grandchildren and great-grandchildren and nieces and nephews, and then even going into the church family that she had. And she would continue, you know, praying. That was her routine every morning. And after family, she would even pray up all the way up into the bills. She'd have all the bills lined up praying and thanking God for provision. And that was the routine.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up around. And you know, in our house, we had, you know, a whole wall full of scriptures, pictures of scriptures, different types of scriptures. And every week, one of her things was she would go and grab one of those pictures, and that was the scripture that she stood on for that week. And she'd pray that scripture, and she'd have her Bible out, and she'd go into scriptures that were similar, and she'd start praying over those. So that was the routine for me, you know, looking at growing up. I saw this prayer warrior, this intercessor, and at that time I really didn't have an understanding of what all that meant, but I knew that that was something that she held of great importance and really, really honored, you know, that in her life. And when it wasn't until, you know, and so I would go to church with her. I would go to church with her. We'd attend Sunday services. And when she got older, one of her oldest sons took me under his wing, and he says, you know, I'm going to start taking you to church with me now. And that's where he was a graduate of Rhema Bible School. And he himself was a product of prayer. You know, God plucked him out. He was a ex-heroin addict. And God plucked him out and began to use him for street evangelism in his ministry. And so after he got plucked out, he went to Rhema Bible College. And so when he came back, he took me under his wing, and he said, okay, you know, I was, you know, barely getting into my teenager years at that time. And he said, I'm gonna teach you some things, because it's not just about going to church. There's more to that. And he began to, you know, show me, spend that time with me and go through the word, and began to show me about even the small things, even just tithing, began to tell me about having faith, began to tell me about having trust in God. And one of the greatest lessons he taught me was about God's love and how we need to have that not only in our life, but operating in our life, and how we're supposed to move in God's love. And it was at 18 years old. At 18 years old, I fully, I made a decision where I wanted to stop knowing of the God that my grandma served, and I wanted to actually know him. It, you know, see, there's a difference when we can know of people. You know, I can know of certain people. I wanted to know. I made a decision at 18 years old. I wanted to know the God that my grandmother served. And so at 18 years old, I made that decision. And, you know, it was one of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life. Because after that, it wasn't just for me going to church, but it was understanding my purpose and my identity. And really understanding why God put me on this earth. Because he didn't put me on the earth. Yeah. I don't think he put anybody on the earth just because, you know, he wanted to put us on the earth. But there's a purpose. There's a reason. And I wanted to understand that. I wanted to know that. And so when I did that, I said, okay, God, here I am. You know, I've been raised in the church, but I'm really giving you my all. You tell me where you want me to go. You tell me what you want. You tell me what you want to speak, and I'll do it. I'll do it. And I made that decision.
Right.
And then he began to move me in the church. And I, like I said, like, you know, you read my bio where it says I moved in many capacities, and he began to move me. I served in cleaning, and I was there cleaning the toilets, and I served in praise and worship, and I was helping them out, you know, with the vocals, with the little vocals that I have. And I did that for a while. And then, you know, I remember Pastor coming up to me and telling me, you know, we need some help in the children's ministry. And he began to do that. And I really, at the time, I didn't, looking back now and, you know, where I am now, I can understand why. But back then, I was just so eager to do whatever God wanted me to do. I didn't really understand what he was doing. But he began to move me in all those different areas. I served in the youth for a long time. And in the city of Rialto, where our church was at the time, and we did I remember when I was serving in the youth, even I didn't think, you know, anything of, you know, they asked me to speak one time to, they had a youth revival, and I was speaking at that youth revival, and I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, you know, okay, God, you want to use me, and I spoke at that youth revival, and then the Spanish ministry pastor, and mind you, I have Mexican-American descent, but I'm not a full fluent in Spanish, but the Spanish pastor comes up to me that was there at the revival, and he says, you know, brother, your word was just so impactful. The youth were just, you know, they were captivated by what you're saying, and I want to do monthly youth revivals, and I want you to be the speaker. And so I thought, okay, you know, sure, you know, I'm going to speak I want you to speak at the first one, and the next thing you know, we go on for 3 months, and I'm still the speaker. And we had, you know, in that building, we had probably, you know, from the beginning, maybe 50 to the last one that we did, we probably had like 120 youth from just all over that area. And God was using me to speak into those kids. And that's really where Pastor began to say, you know, there's something, you're not just, God used you in all these areas because he was building you to where he wants to take you. And there's, he wants to use you in a capacity of ministry and leadership. And it was really after that, after the youth revivals, where he began to bring me in into the leadership and began to use me in that sphere. And he was my first spiritual father, that pastor in Rialto. And he used me in that arena.
This wasn't Pastor Eddie. This was another pastor.
No, this was another pastor. His name was Pastor Rob, and he was in a church in Rialto. But he began to use me bring me. He brought me around the leadership, and it was funny because he used to bring me into these men when he would speak at men's meetings, and there was other, you know, great men and women of God, pastors that I knew from around the region, and he would begin to bring me into these leadership meetings with them. And I'm sitting there in this leadership meeting thinking, you know, what am I doing here? What you know, I have no understanding of what I'm doing here. And he just says, it's okay, you just sit there and you just soak in, you keep learning. And and then, you know, he began to use me. He started working real heavily. He had a secular job. He worked in construction. And so he began to be out at work a lot, and he had to be out on the road mostly during the week. So he said, I need somebody. And you know, you're the faithful one. I need you to do Wednesday night Bible studies for the main church while I'm gone every Wednesday. And so for 4 years, I ran every Wednesday night Bible study, and really that's where God began to expand my understanding of his word. And I already had a heart for the people because I never lost that. You know, when I first made that decision at 18, I said, I got it because I want to serve you, but I also want to serve your people. And when I started doing those Bible studies, he began to expand my understanding. And I stayed with that. I still stayed with that, God, wherever you want me to do, you know, I'll do. And so I did the Bible studies. And, you know, sadly, you know, about 4 years ago now, he passed away. My pastor passed away.
Oh.
And that's where I met Pastor Eddie. And when we lost my first spiritual father, you know, I felt a loss, not because just because he was my pastor, but because he was my spiritual father. You know, I felt like a covering had been stripped away, and when I said, God, you know, what are we gonna do now? What am I gonna do now? And, you know, the ministry was going through a transition, and that's when Pastor Eddie came in. He was the guest speaker at one time, and he began to come around more and more. And one day he did a service. I don't remember if it was a midweek or if it was a Sunday, but he did a service, and he saw something. I remember him looking at me when he was speaking, and after he finished, he came up. And he gave me a hug. And when he gave me that hug, I immediately just felt like that covering that I felt being stripped and being gone when my first spiritual father passed away, I felt that like that covering just wrap around me again. And I said, okay, you know, this was something, you know, God, this is a connection you want me to have. And so I began to accept him as my pastor and as my spiritual father. And he began to see things and began to pull things out of me that I didn't even know. Began to use me more, even in leadership. He never told me anything. Never told me, you know, I see you doing this, I see you doing that. He just began to, every once in a while, he would do certain things or ask me to do certain things and say, and then when I'd finish or complete the task or after I'd give a message or something, he'd say, see, I knew that was in you. I knew that was in you. You just needed to step out and do it.
Right.
And so he, you know, my Pastor Eddie now, you know, he knows that I'm willing to do anything. He can ask me anything, and he knows that, you know, I'll almost guarantee that it'll be done. Whatever it is, you know, whether it's something in the church. And I want to say it's about a year now. This is where we move into the HSBN. It's been about a year now. I had been getting sick. I was working at a mechanic shop, and I had been getting sick in my physical body. And I came to his office one day, and I was telling him about different things. I was getting dizzy, and all kinds of stuff was going on, bouts of vertigo. And I was sitting down in his office telling him. I said, "Something's going to change because there's something wrong here. The more I'm staying here." Because the money was good. That was one of the reasons I stayed. And he was saying, I kept telling him, but something's going to change. God's showing me already. He's going to change something. And when I said that to him, he looked at me and he said, it's because God's already been showing me you're going to come work for the church full time. This is going to be a new season. God's going to do something. I don't know what it is yet. There wasn't a connection yet with HSBN, but he said, God wants you to come and work for the church full time. We'll find something, you know, we have administrative stuff that we could do here. A lot of stuff that needs to get done, you know, especially when it comes to planning for outreaches and events and women's events and men's events. We need a lot of help here. But I already seen God showing me that you're going to come and work full time for the ministry. And that for me was like, it was a, it was a hard decision, but because I was fighting with myself, I was fighting with my own flesh, and God had to take me back to when I was 18 years old and said, you said whatever I asked you to do, you said you would do. And so I said, okay, God, okay. And you know what? When I made that decision, right after that, my health began to improve. You know, everything that I was dealing with, the vertigo, it began to slowly subside and just eventually go away. I haven't had doubts about the vertigo in, you know, almost a year now. And it was at that time he was making a connection with HSBN. He had a vision himself 20-something years ago.
You hold that thought right there, Joe Henry. I just want to say one thing, and Pastor T is going to play us a nice little song. But what you were saying was, Lord, all the whole time, not my will, but your will be done. And when we want to know him, and then the books that God has wrote for us begin to unfold. See, that's how you was opening up what God wrote for you. Now you're starting to do what he has planned for you your whole life. And we're going to be right back, but we're going to let Pastor T play.
You're giving the Lord your all, and that's what he requires. He wants it all.
Amen.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give, and they're all give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give, and they're all give it all. He wants it all. He said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. He's longing for a child that will give, and they're all give it all. He wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
Listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, a.k.a. TNT, and our special guest, Pastor Joe Henry Monroy. Now, Pastor Monroy, you Do you remember where you left off before we went on our little break here? You were talking about
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I remember. So, yes, so I made a decision, and I said yes to God when he said, you're going to go full-time. And I started working with Pastor Eddie, Apostle Eddie. And it was about that time where he was making a connection. There was a connection happening that I didn't know about at the time, but it was a connection happening with HSBN. Apostle had a dream over 20 years ago, even, you know, before I knew him, but he had a dream over 20 years ago that he was going to preach on TV over the airwaves all over the world. And so at that time when I made a decision to, and I said yes to God, he was making the connection with HSBN. And he did a few shows that were out of their studio, but at the time HSBN was also looking to expand. And so an offer was made and an agreement was made, and lo and behold, our church, our local church, Kingdom Family Church Pomona, became one of the studio locations for HSBN. And at the time, they weren't Apostle Bills and Pastor Anne-Marie. They were coming in their first month, they were coming in every week. Themselves personally to run the studio. But in the back of Apostle Bill's mind, he had, you know, he had an idea that, you know, eventually we're going to hire somebody to do the job. And I was there one day and he happened to be there. I was there earlier in the morning one day when he happened to come in to open the studio, and he began to talk to me. And the next thing I know, he starts talking to me about, oh, yeah, you're going to be the one to run the studio. We'll pay you. And I'm like, what? I'm in the younger generation, I have an understanding of technology, but I know nothing about doing videos, you know, especially broadcasting all over the world. I have no idea what that includes. And he says, don't worry. We'll teach you. We'll work out all the parameters. By the time, you know, we don't have to come in anymore, you'll know everything that you need to know. And if anything, all you got to do is give us a call. So he asked me if I could come in when they were coming in every week in the morning and just, you know, sit behind Anne-Marie, that way, Pastor Anne-Marie, that way I could see what she was doing and looking at the different cameras and all the different settings and whatever else had to be done in the studio. And so I sat there for about a month. And then one day she says, okay, I'm going to come in the morning, but you're going to run the studio part. I'll just sit back like how you sit back and I'll let you do it. And so she did that and 1 week, and next thing you know, the next week she's like, okay, you know everything. You're on your own. You're good to go. And so, you know, that's how I started. I was my yes to God ended up helping me, and I ask God every day that it's something new that comes our way, that comes my way. I ask God, expand my understanding. Help me to learn. Help me to do what it is that I need to do, so that way I could do whatever it is in the spirit of excellence. I don't want to do it, you know, halfway, 1 foot in. I want to do it in the spirit of excellence, as, you know, to the best of my ability. And so God help me. And it reminds me of the book of James that says, any of you lacks any wisdom, let him ask God who gives freely. And so I had no understanding of that stuff. So I asked God, and you know, every week I'm always saying, okay, I can know this in the studio, but there's more to learn. What is it, God? Show me, give me the ideas, give me the wisdom, bring it into my brain and expand my understanding and to make
what
this
a beautiful
broadcast
laid in
better.
Your lap.
That's my prayer every week is, God, help me to make, what is it that we can do to fine tune, to adjust, that we can make this broadcast the best that it can be every week. You know, I could do 50 broadcasts a week, but every week I ask the same question and I pray the same prayer. God, help me. Let's make this thing better. How do we make this better?
God, I understand that. It's nothing, because there's nothing ministry-wise you could do without him. Just like Amen. He relied yes. on the Father, we rely on him.
Yeah, and so I started doing that, and he's helped me to learn all it is that I need to operate a studio all by myself, you know, three cameras and a server all by myself in that little office room. And,
yeah.
And so I asked him every week, you know, God, just help me to do that. And it was in that even Apostle Eddie began thinking about expansion. And then he added, you know, love and unity. He branched from HSBN, and now HSBN undergirds Love and Unity TV Network, who are their own, you know, network, but and have their own broadcasters, and now we do that, and I have broadcasters there's a couple that come in studio, but most of them are out of state apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers that are, you know, literally all over the nation in Arkansas and Texas, and we do broadcasts all over. They're all over the nation. We do them remotely.
Okay.
And even with that, with the
I have a question.
To ask God. Uh-huh.
With the Love and Unity, how do you access that if someone wants to go on there and see some of the programs?
So Love and Unity, if you go to www.love-unity.org, and then on the top right, you'll see the bar, and it'll say TV Network. If you click that, and then it'll pop up all of the broadcasters that are associated with Love and Unity TV Network. So there's about, there's about 15 of them, and we are expanding, actually. You know, the vision is, Apostle Eddie's vision is to 50 to 100 at least. And so we are expanding. You know, we have a lot of prospective broadcasters that we're working with right now, and they're getting ready to come on. I actually have a few that are going to get ready to come on in December, and a couple that are getting ready to come on in January. They're getting all their parameters set and, you know, things that they want on their broadcast, graphics and other sorts, but they're expanding. And I had to continue to ask God, though. God, give me the understanding. Help me to do this, because I'm one person, and in my brain sometimes I can put myself down. If I get too far in my thoughts, tear down those vain imaginations and begin to say, no, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
It's his mind.
What do we do? What do you do when you feel condemned? When, you know, because a lot of people go through that, and it's all the enemy, because Jesus said he didn't come to condemn us. But sometimes walking, people feel condemned. And that is one of the things that Satan uses on Christians to push them back and down, is to make them, like you just said, which was very beautiful, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But sometimes,
Amen.
What do you do beyond that quoting of that scripture, that one, when you're feeling that way?
Well, I bring in the word. I literally have to sometimes grab my Bible, and I have that scripture as well. But I also remind myself of the other scripture, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And even if that thought comes in, I get that thought, and I have to ask myself, is this God, or is this the enemy, or sometimes is it even myself? And if it's not God, then I have to get that thought and take authority over it and just take it out of my mind. I throw it in the trash can of my mind and say, no, that is not what the word says about me. And I do this, and sometimes I'll even grab the promise books that they have, you know, that has all the promises of God. And I'll go through and I'll look at the promises of God that are over our lives. And I'll just start reading the scriptures and say, this is what God, in that moment, I'll grab that promise book, because most of the time I'm in my office. And so I'll go in my drawer real quick and grab that book, and I'll begin to say, no, I may be feeling like this, but let me read what the word says about me. Let me read all the promises of God. And I'll go to whatever section I need, and I'll begin to to read those scriptures over me. And I honestly, I learned that, again, going back to the beginning from my great-grandma. That word, when she was praying, and she would begin to just speak the word over any, whatever situation, whatever. She would write, like I said, she had that book, and she would write her husband, her kids, grandkids, and all, you know, all the list down. And there would be little side bars coming out of the name. And she would pray over mm-hmm. the different things that she knew of that they were going through or that they were facing.
Right.
And bring in those scriptures mm-hmm. into those things. And that's literally what I do now when I face a situation. I remind myself of what God says. Even when I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, what am I doing? I don't have no technology degree to be running a studio. I don't have no bachelor's or master's or anything
isn't that so
bad? Yeah,
that looks so beautiful.
You walk in my office, all I got is pictures and of family and some scriptures and, you know, just different things. But I ain't got no degrees up there and none of that stuff. But when I go to that word, I remind myself, this is what God says about you. You're His son.
And Jill Henry,
this is what He says about
that's
you.
That's right. I love it because it's like David. What do? When you're feeling condemned? Like David said, I will encourage myself in the Lord.
Yeah.
And how do you encourage yourself is through that word of God. That is how we take that word and we pray the word of God. God loves that because that's what He said about it. And when we say it back to Him, oh, that's powerful. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, and so that's literally what I do. And, you know, I always, and I say this sometimes to even the church, the local church sometimes, I said, you know, there, you can go out there and buy a self-help book, you know, 12 Steps to Peace and all kinds of stuff, but the simplest answer, just go in your word. Just go in your word and see what God says about you.
Right.
You know. You know, you don't got to go through the 12 steps and all kinds of other stuff. There's a lot of that book, of those self-help books out there. But just make it simple. Just go to the Word. And I go to that Word and I just begin to speak those things over myself, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel like it, even when those thoughts come in or I feel condemned. And then I remind myself, I'm not condemned. God doesn't condemn me. I'm His son. He loves me. Mm-hmm. He loves me with an everlasting love.
And you know what? The same thing goes for oppression and depression also. A lot of times Christians don't have to be depressed or oppressed because they can do the same thing, take your word and say it out loud and pray it over yourself and use the word. And, you know, a lot of times Christians walk in undue heaviness. You don't have to have that heaviness.
We make it too hard on ourselves.
God had to show me though. He had to tell me when I don't condemn, and if you're condemning yourself, it's not me. So wait until I correct you. Don't try to overcorrect yourself. Let me correct you.
Right.
We do that too, you know. Oops, what did I do that? Should I do that? Wait till you get the answer.
Hey, so,
wow,
Joe Henry, you have
so
a...
so beautiful.
That is something good for everybody to grab hold of. Stand on that word. Go find it. Make it simple, like you said. Just go to the word, you know.
Amen.
That's very good. And Joe Henry, you have a baby, a new baby, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I do. He is about going to be 3 months, actually, in a few days. So he's
3 months already.
We're going to be 3 months. So we just had him in August, and so we're in a few days. He'll be about 3 months.
That went fast.
Your
wife.
Amen. Yeah, and even with him, you know, every day I wake up, I say, God, you know, teach me how to be the best father I could be, even if at his age, you know, because at this age, this, they're soaking up everything. All they're doing is looking at us, but they're soaking it all up. And I want to be the you know, father that I could be. I want to be the best, even to the to my other daughter. I want to be the best father I could be. I want to be the to my wife. I want to be the best husband I can be. And you know, one of the things that God showed me is, you know, you want to be the best father or son that you could be. I mean, be the best father or husband that you could be, then be the best son that you can be, and I'll show you everything that you need to know.
Amen. Hey,
that is beautiful.
That's
and so every day, my I endeavor, I endeavor every day to be the best son of God that I could be. And I know that if I do that, he'll show me. He'll show me how to be the best father. He'll give me the wisdom and the understanding how to be the best husband, how to be the best friend, how to be the best pastor that I could be. If I, as long as I stay on that on that path to be the best son of God that I could be.
That's good.
And you know, and your your blessings are right there. God blessed you with a beautiful family, a wife that loves the Lord just like you do, and that's a blessing. You know, you're not unequally yoked, you know. So all of that's a blessing, man.
Yes sir. And I waited, 27 years to find the right one. I waited 27 years. You know, I didn't, I knew when I made that decision at 18 years old, I knew that there was the right one, but I didn't want to go through all the you know, the madness and mistakes, you know, what the world says about dating and stuff. But I knew. It's kind of cliche, I guess, because I saw a thing one time, and it was, it held truth, at least for me, because there was a it was a picture on Facebook one time. And it said, you know, find the, it was directed towards a woman, but it was, it said, find the man of God that's so caught up in God that he doesn't at first see you, but he hear the voice of God and God will tell him to look up. And that was, for me, that was me. I was that person. I was so, you know, just caught up in the Lord doing what it is that he wanted me to do, that when I first saw my wife, it was because he said, this is the one. The one. And you know, she was on her own path and stuff, and but she was, you know, ultimately praying for somebody that, that loved the Lord just as much as she loved the Lord. She's a praise and worship leader for our church. And so she didn't, you know, she knew, you know, she wanted somebody who was going to love the Lord with the same, you know, with the same vigor and the same fervor as her. And, you know, and I was you know, walking my path, and we happened to come into the same church. When I met Apostle Eddie, she was serving at his church. She had been with him since. As a matter of fact, I mean, he is basically like her father. You know, she really, her father, you know, the relationship wasn't as great growing up, but Apostle Eddie filled the role of a natural father for her in her life. And so when I came into the church, that's where our paths crossed. And I found the one, you know, that God said, this is the one. This is the one, son. So I waited 27 years, and I found the one that God said, this is for me. And she was everything and more that I prayed for, everything and more.
Yeah.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
And now you guys have beautiful children.
Beautiful family.
Pastor Tia and I met at church also.
And the Lord had to let me know.
Pastor King, you didn't drink, smoke, or do alcohol or drugs or anything either. So I was like, so what are you letting go?
You know, everybody got to let go of something.
But now, after I've lived with them, I understand.
That's got to go. This got to go.
It's our own nature. Well, it's nothing good about none of us. And God, you know, everybody needs Jesus. I don't care who it is. We need
Bottom
our
line.
Nature changed.
That's just it.
Yep.
We cannot take the old man into the kingdom.
Yes, yes,
right.
Amen.
So you know, Pastor Monroy, we have less than 5 minutes left. Would you like to say a prayer to some of our listeners out there? I'm pretty sure they got a lot out of today's program, but could you just offer a prayer for our listeners?
Yes, yeah, and I'll say this, and taking it back to the beginning, you know, I am the product of prayer. My life could have been all over the place because mom and dad didn't serve. They don't, you know, they still to this day, I pray, but they still to this day don't serve the Lord. But I am the product of that prayer that my grandmother prayed, that I would know the Lord just like she knew the Lord. And she was that intercessor praying for that, for our family, to,
Amen.
You know, parents or anybody. If you're praying for somebody, don't give up. Don't get weary in doing good. And the prayer of the righteous avails much. It has power. And I love that song from Waymaker, and I look at the bridge of that song where it says, even when you don't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. And so I say to those that are praying for somebody, don't give up, because your prayer has power. And even if you don't feel it or see it, and it may not be just the way you like it, it's working. He's working. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I thank you. I pray for anybody listening over these airwaves. And if they listen to the replay that might be on this week, Father, I just pray that you give them peace, Father God. I pray that a strength becomes upon them, a boldness comes upon them, Father, for their prayers, for whatever it is that they're praying for, Father God. I thank you, Father, that you've already sent an answer. From the moment the prayer left their lips, you sent an answer, Father God. And so I thank you, Father God, that they'll continue to hold that line, Father God. They'll continue to hold the rope for the loved ones, for the ones that they're connected to, Father God, for the things that they are praying for, Father God. And I ask, Father God, that you place a hedge of protection around them, Father God, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, Father God, and it could be easy just to get tired and to stop, and because we don't maybe see anything, Father, but I place a hedge of protection over them, Father God. Father God, let them just have a supernatural strength, Father God, to keep going, Father God. Let a courage come upon them, Father God, to know, Father God, that their prayer is working, Father God. And Father, we just thank you that your word says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Father. So if they made a mistake, Father God, it's okay. The righteous may fall 7 times, but they keep getting back up, Father. And so I thank you that you'll give them the strength, you'll give them the courage, you'll give them whatever it is they need, Father God, to keep getting back up, Father. And so we just thank you today, Father God. We thank you. I thank you for Pastor T and T, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that they're being used not only locally in their local ministry, Father God, but they're being used globally, Father God, all over the airwaves, over social media, Father God. And so we pray over them, Father God. We place hedges of protection around them, Father God. And I thank you that the things that they've put their hands to, Father God, you've called it blessed, Father God. And so we just thank you for miracles, signs, and testimonies and wonders to come out of their ministry, Father God, of every show, of every broadcast, of every message that they give, Father God. We just thank you for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that will follow them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo,
amen.
You know what we stand for,
amen.
Joe Henry. We love you.
Praise
the
Lord.
A beautiful prayer.
Woo. Yes, we receive it.
We're standing for. We really
and
enjoy
you know how,
the program.
Yes, indeed. And you know how it goes when we are having fun. Time is flying. We only have a few seconds. So I want to thank you for being on the program. And you are more than welcome to come back at any time and bless the people. You have been a blessing for us. Anything real quick, Pastor Tasila?
Yeah, anything that you have going that you need the people to know about, any events, just let us know and we'll make sure we'll announce it on the program. And God
Amen.
Bless you and your ministry and your new position at the church. You're just growing and growing and having, the Lord is opening up many doors for you, and we're very proud of you. God bless you.
Amen. Very proud. God bless.
Thank you for your
word. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Everybody, be blessed. Bye-bye.